Okay, so good news. You've got an organization, and there are tons of people who are interested in the work that you're doing. But how do you organize them? One of the ways that you can do this is with a customer relationship management system. If you've seen tools like Trello or Monday or Asana or Notion, all of them use different variations on this. You've got to have just some way to track all of the people that you're working with, their contact information, and you've got to integrate that with some kind of form. So much of nonprofit organization or organization as a whole is letting people register their exact interest. And that can be especially hard when you have to balance content and ideas across different audiences. How do you make that balance? Probably the answer is with a lot of difficulty. Because the people that you're targeting might not want the kind of information that you have. Sure, you can be targeting in a way that is nice and you can have nice messaging and interesting events. But ultimately, if somebody subscribes because they're interested in the environment and you're sending them stuff about unions, they're going to be a little bit less interested. So, a lot of the work of organizing is sketching out what your message is and getting it out to people in a really targeted way. I was able to talk to Vikas at Drive Towards a Cure, and this organization is looking for a cure for Parkinson's disease. This is something that's affected a lot of people. My own partner, Kennedy Cooper, their grandmother passed away in large part to this disease. It's something where lots of people have a connection with Parkinson's. But because it's so universal, how do we get this to be a little bit more specific? Well, the balance of balancing the interests between Parkinson's advocates and car enthusiasts is actually pretty large because, cars, it's got an older demographic. They've got friends, loved ones, parents. If you're like a real car lover, it's something that you've developed over a long time. And over that long life, you've seen and met people who've been affected by Parkinson's. Most of us are. What do you do to balance those interests so that, how do you build that kind of attention and momentum in the public while also making sure that people know the impact that you're making and that you can record it and share it with others? Vikas was a huge source of insight when it came to this. Really talking about content strategy, social media, budget allocation, measuring your impact and communicating it. Vikas has really dealt with all of those barriers in real life, and as you talk to him, you're going to be hearing somebody who is got an encyclopedic knowledge of how those power relationships are built. I really love talking to Vikas. You're going to love it too. It's just great. So, enjoy this conversation.
But Vikas, thank you so much for making the time. It's so great to speak with
Yeah.
you. We're really excited about this, in particular because my grandma died partially because of Parkinson's, complications due to Parkinson's. And it's definitely something, it's also affected a few of my other family members, but that was the most recent one in my life.
Got
And
it.
so it's something that's profoundly affected me. And I definitely, just going through that process with her taught me a lot about just, how much fight there really is left with this disease.
Indeed, there is.
And so I'm pretty passionate about, we do a lot of healthcare related nonprofits. It's one of our things that we like to focus on in general for a few different reasons, but I'm especially passionate about what y'all are doing. And I'm also a car enthusiast. So I was very excited when we stumbled across y'all, and that's why we were certain we had to send y'all an email and see what happened.
Sounds great.
I can relate. I'm 47 years old and I have Parkinson's disease, and it's a one-way street. It's a tough existence. Takes me 7 minutes to get out of bed in the morning, where I used to take, you know, used to hop up and shower and get my day started. And it's a different reality I'm facing now. But I still drive, which is, you know, my passion, and awesome. I still get out there and have as much fun as I can and try and do as much for the Parkinson's community as possible. So anybody that's wants to talk cars and Parkinson's, I'm all ears.
I'm an operations guy, and for me, you know, a CRM system is critical for a fundraiser for a team. Totally. Right? And we've got this homegrown fundraising database, which is serving the purpose but doesn't allow us to campaign our audience and target our audience. And that's the first thing I would have her spend any money on if I was going to have her spend some money. And I've struggled to get Deb to get on board with that, because she's so focused on 100% pass through as an organization, as opposed to saying, let's reserve $5,000 for operating expenses, get a CRM system, use that to campaign our donors, and turn $5,000 into $25,000, and feel good about the fact that we're now a 95% pass through organization, but we're generating more revenue. So in we're net beneficial that, or net, you know, net positive that way, right? Essentially, you know, we can appeal to enthusiasts, automotive enthusiasts. We can appeal to Parkinson's advocates. We can hope that we find the cross-section and hope that cross-section is sizable enough that we get some money. That, you know, we're appealing to automotive enthusiasts and saying, hey, by the way, you look at the cool stuff we're doing. If you happen to be a person of means and have a philanthropic bend, we like to collect money for Parkinson's related causes. Like the percentage of posts that highlight the impact of the money that we give to different organizations is really small.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm not saying it's the right or wrong strategy, but we don't want to lose our automotive enthusiast audience by spending all our time talking about a progressive neurological disease that's a one-way street that's kind of boring and daunting to talk about. And striking a balance there that, like, brings together the people that are automotive enthusiasts who have no connection to Parkinson's in a way that says, I love your content enough that I'm in, right?
Right.
But do the vast majority of our funds come from people who have an association with Parkinson's? I don't know. You know, are they just automotive enthusiasts that like Deb? Sure, maybe. Are they just automotive enthusiasts that are going to give a certain amount of money each year to a charity and they might as well give it to one that speaks to them? Maybe that's what it is. You know, we need to be very clear about whether we're trying to, where we think the biggest bang for our buck is, and how we balance content across different audiences, right? In terms of automotive enthusiasts that might have a philanthropic bend versus, you know, for people with philanthropic bend that might be interested in car content, right? It's not a natural fit. The average, you know, the average automotive enthusiast is no more likely to be impacted by Parkinson's than a fisherman.
Right.
Right. And how do we cross that bridge and develop content that kind of highlights the good work that we're doing or the impact that we're having and is appealing to the automotive audience? I will just say candidly, I think we're on social media because we're supposed to be on social media, not because we have a good strategy around social media.
Right.
And it's one way to reach an audience. And Deb's always talking about, I just need more likes and followers and all this. And it's like, well, if you're not getting it, it means we're not engaging our audience. It doesn't mean that we're not, it doesn't mean that if we somehow convince a bunch of people to follow our content, that we'll all of a sudden, double or triple our donations.
Right. And it's about quality. It's not just quantity.
There's two hurdles that we have to get across. I'm all for experimentation and spending money to find out what works and what doesn't work. The first hurdle is just the spending of money, right? The idea that we need to spend money to make money. We need to spend money. We need to develop content. We need to give it to the experts and step back and let the experts kind of run the show, if you will. Like in my case, I'm an operations guy. I'm a CRM guy. You know, ask Deb to say, I'll give you a perfect example. I said, okay, we can't spend $5,000. There's a donor CRM platform called Zephy, right? It's free. It's donor funded, right? They say, you know, all those donation websites to say, would you like to cover the credit card fees so that this can be, this platform can cover the expenses, or to the organization, 100% of what you donated goes through and then the recipient's not paying any credit card fees. They take it a step further and say, do you want to do that? And do you want to throw another dollar in or dollar or $2 in to keep this platform free for the end user? So yeah, I mean, we have a few hurdles with regards to that. And then the other one is kind of like ownership of the content, right? Kind of letting go. So spending money to make money and then letting go and letting somebody who's got some experience generating, engaging content, taking a little bit of ownership of what we put out there as an organization.